Welcome to Torah Yimelcha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Ilana Flamenhoft, and today we will be studying Sefer Divrei Yamim Bet, Perek Zion. Chapter 7 continues with the inauguration of the Beit HaMikdash. We read that as Shlomo finished praying, V'ha'esh yarda mehashamayim, V'tochal ha'ola v'hazvachim, U'kvod Hashem male et habayit. Fire descended from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and God's glory filled the house. This is what happened when the tabernacle was dedicated. Vateitze esh milfnei Hashem v'tochal al ha'mizbech et ha'ola v'et ha'chalavim v'yar kol ha'am v'yaronu v'yiplu al pneihem. Fire came forth from before Hashem and consumed the burnt offering and the fat parts on the altar, and all the people saw and shouted and fell on their faces. The next pasuk states that the Kohanim priests were unable to serve due to the Anan cloud filling the temple. This is a repetition of the psukim that we read in chapter 5. The need to repeat them here is to explain that the cloud remained even after the heavenly fire descended. Unlike the Anan at Har Sinai, this one was permanently settled in the Holy Temple. In response to the fire descending from heaven, all of Bnei Israel knelt down and prostrated themselves, their faces upon the ground, and praised Hashem and said, Ki Tov, Ki Le'olam Chasdo, God who is good, whose steadfast love is eternal. This is the same praise that the Kohanim and Levim said in chapter 5, when the Aron, Ark, was brought to the Holy of Holies. It would seem that on both occasions, they are reciting chapter 136 of Psalms, about all of the amazing things God has done for us, though only the refrain is quoted here. Worth noting, the refrain, Ki Tov Ki Le'olam Chasdo, is repeated 26 times in the chapter in Psalms, and 26 is the numerical value of Hashem's name, Yud-Heh Vav-Heh. Then Shlomo and the nation slaughtered sacrifices before Hashem, and Pasuk Heh, verse 5 states, V'yichanchu et Beit HaElokim HaMelech V'chol Ha'am. Thus the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. Verse 6 informs us that similar to the ceremony that accompanied the Mizbeach, in chapter 5, here too, after Shlomo's tefillah, the Kohanim were serving and blowing the chatzotzrot horns, and the Levites were there singing. Verse 7 tells us that Shlomo sanctified the inside of the chatzer, the courtyard, because the great number of sacrifices that day were too much for the altar. By sanctifying the pavement of the temple, Shlomo was in effect converting it into an extension of the altar itself. The overflow of sacrificial parts could now be burnt there, according to Rav Yehuda in Zvachim. Verses 8 to 10 are the conclusion of the inauguration ceremony and recorded that Israel celebrated the holiday of Sukkot and then on the 23rd day of the month went home happy with full hearts. Al tova asher asah Hashem leDavid uShlomo uLiYisrael amo. Over the goodness that God had shown to David and Shlomo and the people of Israel. Based on the way the psukim are written here in Divrei Hayamim, the rabbis in Moed Katan, when discussing the topic of Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha, we do not mix one joy with another joy, conclude that the inauguration ceremony preceded Sukkot, in which case the people did not fast on Yom Kippur that year. The people were nervous afterward that they had made a mistake, but a bat kol, a divine voice, issued forth and said to them, Kulchem muzumanin l'chayei ha'olam haba. All of you are designated for life in the world to come. The Ramban discusses the origin of the idea of an inaugural ceremony when the offerings of the Nesiim, the princes, are detailed in chapter 7 of Bamidbar. He suggests that based on the fact that Hashem agreed to the intention of the princes and commanded, Nasi Echad LaYom, Nasi Echad LaYom, Yakrivu et Korbanachem leChanukat HaMizbeach, they shall present their offering, each prince on his day. That, Yitzachen Shehi Mitzvah LaDorot, Sheyechanchu LaOlam, Beit HaMikdash HaMizbeach. It is possible that this is a commandment for all generations, that the sanctuary and the altar should always be dedicated with special offerings upon their completion. Ramban explains that this is why Shlomo thought he should make an inauguration ceremony for the Beit HaMikdash, and that there was a ceremony when the Second Temple was dedicated as well. According to Yechezkel, we can look forward to an inauguration ceremony when the Third Beit HaMikdash is built. May that day come speedily in our time. The parallel of Shlomo's dedication of the temple to the dedication of the Mishkan, the tabernacle, in the desert can be seen in our tefillot every day. At the end of Shmona Esrei, we say, "V'arva l'Hashem mincha Yudah v'Yerushalayim ki mei olam u'kishanim kadmoniot." Then the offerings of Yehuda and Yerushalayim shall be pleasing to God as in the days of yore and in the years of old. This Nevuah prophecy is from the last chapter of Malachi, our last prophet. The Malbim explains in his classic fashion of the omnisignificance of every term in Tanakh that the words Kimei Olam refer to the days of Shlomo. Ukishanim Kadmoniot refers to the day of Moshe during each of their dedications. In verse 11, we are informed that Shlomo completed the building of the Beit HaMikdash and the palace. Vayichal Shlomo et Beit Hashem ve'et Beit HaMelech ve'et kol haba alei Shlomo lasot ve'Beit Hashem u'beveito hitzliach. Thus Shlomo finished building the house of God and the royal palace. Shlomo succeeded in everything he had set his heart on accomplishing with regard to the house of God and his palace. The last 10 psukim of our chapter record a second vision Shlomo received at night after the completion of the building of the temple. Hashem said, "Shamati et tfilatcha ubacharti b'makom hazeh li levet zevach. I have heard your prayer and have chosen this site as my house of sacrifice. Ata einai yu ptuchot ve'oznai kashuvot letfilat ha'makom hazeh. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers from this place." The vision concludes with Hashem exhorting Shlomo to remain true to the paths of goodness and obedience which David had followed. If he does so, his throne will be firmly established and Israel's kingship will remain eternally his. The alternative is the utter destruction of the temple and the land and Israel's disgrace among the nations, and ends with the words, "V'amru al asher azvut Hashem, el keav oseyam, asher hotziyam eres Mitzrayim, v'yachziku belhim achrim, v'yishtachvu lahem, v'ya'avdum, al kein hevi alem et kol hara'ah hazot." And the reply will be, it is because they forsook the eternal God of their ancestors who freed them from the land of Egypt and adopted other gods and worshipped them and saved them. Therefore, all this calamity was brought upon them. It's interesting that the Mara vision ends on this note. It is generally Jewish tradition to not end things on a sad note, such as repeating the second to last pasuk of Eicha, Lamentations, so that the reading ends on a positive note of the Jewish people returning to Hashem, instead of ending with the last verse about God's anger. The Midrash can help us understand the tone of the psukim. The rabbis believe that Shlomo married Paro's daughter on the very day of the temple inauguration. His marriage to her is not recorded in Divrei Yamim, though it is in Melachim. How do we understand Shlomo's decision to marry on that evening? He thought that now that the Shechina, Hashem's presence, was in the temple, Israel was ready to take its first step toward its messianic destiny, when all the nations of the world would recognize Hashem. Unfortunately, Shlomo severely miscalculated, and his marriage to the daughter of Paro began a downward spiral with catastrophic results. Thus, our perek, and Hashem's response was muted and ends heavy with hints of future tragedies. This year is dedicated to Zecher Nishmas Marcy Stern, Mincha Yehudit Bat Gedaliahu. She was a dedicated teacher whose deep love of the Sifrei Nevi'im and Shiva Sion left an indelible mark on her many students.